If you are an estate agent, letting agent, or someone who is interested in the property market, then this, the UK Property Market Stats Show, is for you. My name is Chris Watkin, and this week, special guest is Ian McKenzie. We'll come to Ian in a second. The purpose of this show is to talk about what's happening in the property market right here, right now. An awful lot of people take reference from the Land Registry indexes, but they're looking at data and sales that took place 6, 7, 8 months ago. Others will quote the Halifax and Nationwide, and they're looking at sales that took place 2 or even 3 months ago. We're looking at sales that took place last week. And using the power of data and other awesome things, we can actually foretell what's going to be happening to those indexes 2, 4, 6 months in advance. So if you're into your property and you like to know what's happening in the property market, then carry on listening, and we're going to be going through this week's UK property market. This week we're looking at week 13 of 2024, which, just putting up my calendar, is Monday the 25th of March all the way through and including Easter Sunday, Sunday the 31st of March. This week I'm joined by Ian McKenzie. Ian McKenzie is the boss man of the Guild of Property Professionals, an organisation of over 800 estate agents who've come together in an affiliate programme where they help each other and guide and support each other to be better estate agents. Ian is their leader and he guides and supports them. So he's been talking to an awful lot of estate agents up and down the UK, so he knows what's happening. He's also an ex-director of Countrywide and he knows his onions. He really is a top chap and an awful lot of people love him to bits. The show itself is split roughly into two. The first half, where Ian and myself will be looking at the UK property market, starting off with listings, then price reductions, sales agreed, fall throughs, net sales, and exchanges. And we'll be looking at some other data as well, which could be of interest. Then the second half is that we focus on a town or a city and really deep dive into that town's property market, looking specifically at which estate agents are performing, both lettings and sales, and see which ones are the better estate agents using various metrics. But anyway, let's get back to our special guest this week. It's Ian McKenzie. Ian, great to see you again, mate.
And to you, Mr. Watkin, thank you very much.
Bless you. You're a regular presenter, a co-presenter on the programme, because you offer exceptional value for money and fantastic insight. So, Ian, shall we just dive in and go and have a look at the Stat-a-Roonies for this week? Here we go.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So you should be able to see the graphs. Is that right, Ian? And then I'll
Yeah,
pick
I can. Yeah.
the right-hand corner. Good stuff. So this week, I'll just spend a minute looking at listings, and then you can give your amazing insight. So this week, in terms of listings, we listed as a country 38,008 properties, compared to last week, that was 37,900, and the week before that, 37,800, and the week before that, 37,900. If you can see on the graph now, the white line is the number of listings that have been taking place on a week-by-week basis, all joined up with a white line. You can see the other years on the graphs from 2017, 18, 19, and 23. And you can see here that obviously listings in the UK are slightly higher those, what we would say, more normal years. Cumulative listings to date, we can see we're at 446,274, which is very, very similar to other years. To give you an idea, in terms of listings, cumulatively, last compared 2024 compared to 2023 year to date, up to week 13, we are 9.4% higher. And 2024 compared to an average of 17, 18, and 19, we are exactly 10% ahead. What's your Oh, and then just finally, the average price of a property coming onto the market of those 38,000 properties was 449,778. Ian, what's your thoughts on the listings?
Very strong, very good. I said this last time I was on the show, but this is further evidence because at that time I said it would appear that the market has normalized, that the consumers have got used to a higher base rate, higher inflation, cost of living. It's just normalized. I did say, let's see if it continues, and it has continued. So it goes to show that subject to houses not coming on the market at too high a price, so subject to some accurate valuing, which will come out in the other data that we'll see in a moment, it's good. It's good. It's a very good positive result.
Excellent. Now you'll notice on this graph here, Ian, that we've got the blue line, the pink line, and the yellow line, and all of them have slightly dipped. And you can see the green one as well dipping. And that is basically the week after Easter. So what I would say, ladies and gentlemen, is don't be surprised if next week that dips down to the late 20, 28,000, somewhere around there, because as you can see here, they have done in the last number of years. That just shows you what, and we're going to be looking at how Easter affects the property market in the coming weeks, especially with regard to sales as well. Anything on listings before we move over to price reductions?
The only thing that is just the watch out is the average price that they're listing at. So I've always said that it does take into consideration cities, London, etc. So it is always going to be skewed, and it is always the regional pricing that is the important part. But we just don't want to get into territory where properties coming to the market too far above the norm. So
Good stuff.
please don't overvalue. There's data that shows it's absolutely the worst thing that you can do.
Well,
And again, the only watch out, and this came from the Guild conference, Chris, because you delivered it and I listened, is we need to make sure that sale levels maintain, because we don't want to see a change of the supply and demand curve.
indeed, thank you for saying. We're going to be going to look at the difference between sale agreed and listing prices. We've got some graphs on that, which I'll surprise you with in a second. So we can deep dive a little bit more on that one. Let's move over to price reductions. Okay, so this week we've reduced 18,445 properties. Now, to give you an idea of that sort of level, that means that we are reducing one in 8.03 houses. Okay, last week we were reducing a little bit more. We reduced 21,378 properties, but again, we have had Good Friday. Now, what is particularly interesting is that I don't know if the schools. I know the schools are off. Definitely, where my county, the schools broke up on Maundy Thursday. Now, normally, you normally have the week either side of Easter. So therefore, because Easter was very early this year, an awful lot of schools put the 2 weeks on after Easter. So what you're going to tend to find is this. That's why the listings was quite high, because we would normally expect, and then because list and then sales is, we'll come on to sales. Sales did drop a little bit because, again, I don't know if you're aware, Ian, but the vast majority of sales on the where the agent hits the word sold happens on Thursdays and Fridays. Because I've been doing this show now, as I said, for nearly 18 months. Anyway, so it's about 16 months, yeah. And you at the start, I would look at Monday and Tuesday and go, oh my word, certain, doommongers are right, and then all of a sudden the sales will drop in. Okay, so we lost a Friday this year. So because again, most agents instruct the sales on a Thursday and Friday. So that's why most of the numbers come through on a Friday and Saturday, because we're a day behind. So I just thought a little interesting tip for you. But don't be surprised if sales drop. Moving on, well, and the average price of a property being reduced, 398,000. Anything to say on price reductions? Is one in eight properties enough?
I don't think it is, actually. No, I think it should be. It depends on the historical stock and the stock levels on which you're running at as an individual business, of course, because you can't keep on reducing the same stock. My challenge has always been with agency is, rather than just plucking the 5% figure out of the air for the seller, making your job easy to say to your boss, I've got a price reduction, boss. Actually get the price, offer the right advice to the customer. It shouldn't be percentage led. It should be actual activity led for the specific house. As an 8% overview, I would say it isn't enough. I would like to see that a bit higher. I personally would be thinking 20%, but I understand that you can't get 20% all the time.
No, and again, it depends if you're realistically pricing the properties, you don't need to price reduce them, do you?
Absolutely right. And the competitor analysis tool that you've got and that we've got will absolutely indicate that.
Interestingly, ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested in knowing how your, you know, whether you or your agent, a fellow agents, your competitors in your town are overvaluing. We are going to be in the second section where it talks about Belfast. We're going to use it, be using a bit of kit called Insights, which you can have access to as well, which shows you which agents are overvaluing, which how close you're getting to the asking price, and what percentage of the homes you're listing you're actually exchanging and getting paid on. So even if you're not from Belfast, do watch it, because I think you'll find it fascinating.
Yeah, great.
Gross sales this week, 18,456, which is down on last week's, which was 21,378. But as you can see here, before all the doomongers kick in, because we all know that we like our doomongers on the program, bless them, is that we're at the start of Easter. So again, the Easter sales have started to drop off.
Yeah.
And I suspect that this line will hit, no, sorry, let me start again. We're doing a product shoot. Can I just start again? We have
Yeah.
about 24,090. It was 18, sorry, that's where my 18,000 came from. Apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I've got number blindness today. The number of sales this week was 24,093 compared to last week's at 26,435. But what you have to remember is this: that 26,435 was the best since May last year. And that May figure from last year was the best figure for 2023. So I'm not too concerned, but there is going to be some of that is going to be Easter. So don't be disappointed if our sales do continue to drop and come down to the low 20,000s this year, at this week. Cumulative sales to date, 302,000, which is 9.4% higher than 2023 at 276,482. And it was 8.6% ahead of the average of 17, 18, and 19, which is 278,552. The average price of, this is what Ian was talking about earlier on, the average price of a property sale agreed, 358,000, and there's our 24,093 sales. Okay, Ian, what's your thoughts on sales?
Well, again, you mentioned that there was no Friday, so you've instantly got one day less of the week. So that will take a little bit of activity out of it. Easter, everyone knew when Easter is coming. It's always advertised to the general public as you've got to get your house on the market for Easter, which would explain the increase of listings for that time. But the reality is that sales activity, weather conditions, etc., you usually do see a slight downturn in sales at this time. So it's not something I'm personally worried about at all. And as you say, even if this graph drops a little bit more next week, it is to be expected.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine. I think the trend for the year is actually really good.
Well, it's particularly interesting. If we look at the pink line, we got Easter in there, we've got the May bank holidays, and we've
Yeah.
also got the coronation last year. That's why.
Yeah.
So don't be dismissed, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in for a bit of a roller coaster until we get out the other side around week 21. And then, as I said, notice how there is a steady drift downwards throughout the year in terms of general levels of sales. I know we had that, but I don't know what that bump up and down in 2017 was, but the fundamental trend is she's drifting downwards. Okay, so make hay while the sun shines in the first few months. I think that's important, isn't it, Ian?
Agreed,
Anything
completely
else
agree.
on now? We were talking about the average price. So again, let's just remind ourselves, ladies and gentlemen, the average price of a property went to sale agreed. So this was the asking price of a property that went to sale agreed. This week was 358. Now, this price has hardly changed. So the average for the year is 351,000, and it was the same for Q3 and Q4 last year. She's been hovering around 350, 360. Okay. So if we apply that to our graph, here we go. This has been around that 350 mark. Whilst the red line is the average asking price of the properties coming onto the market. Now, this is important, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't mean that everything is coming down from 440 down to 360. Higher priced properties have a lower propensity to sell, and we're going to be coming to have a look at that in a second. Whilst lower priced properties have a higher propensity to sell, it's the gap that's important. That ideally should be in the order of 16 or 17%, and this week she is coming in at 25. Last week it was 25, the week before 21 and 23. Thoughts on this?
On a macro level, it is concerning. And I say every time I'm on the show, it's more about your local regional marketplaces where this is concerned, because city centres, I mean, there's houses in London on the market of 16 to 25 to £55 million. It is going to skew those figures dramatically. But so it is the local regional representation that is the important thing. But it is just case in point is overvaluing is not good. It's not doing anybody any good. You're more likely to lose the instruction first time round and the second agent sell it second time round. So appropriate, sensible marketing, marketing strategies, communication with the customer. Don't pin the tail on the donkey. Work the price out with the customer based on evidence and fact. Your price per square foot mechanisms, Chris, is the sensible approach in this marketplace.
Certainly. What is particularly interesting is this, is that there was a Rightmove stat being flown around 2017, somewhere around there, where they said 60% of properties sold with a second agent. That number has not, to the best of my knowledge, been updated by Rightmove since. I know for a fact that it came down to as low as 7% in the happy days of 21. And we're in the process. I've requested it from 20EA that they give us a monthly rolling percentage of sales that have sold with the second agent, so we can actually have something definitive for the industry, because there's lots of numbers, pardon me, flying around. Let's find out exactly what percentage of sales sell with the second agent. So hopefully that should be the tickets in the system, and we should be able to bring that to you soon once they do that. Love the guys at 20EA. Let's move on to sales fall throughs. So the fall throughs this week was actually quite a bit lower than last week at 4,883, with a fall through rate of 20.7. So I'll just explain what that means, ladies and gentlemen. So if we have 100 sales come in a week, I know you know this, Ian, but for everyone else, if we had 100 sales agreed this week, that's the gross sales, and we then had 15 fall throughs from our pipeline, then 15 as a percentage of 100 is 15%. So the fall through rate is 15%. It's crude, but it's not bad at all, and most people understand it. Interestingly, the long-term average in terms of the fall-through rate is 24.28%. And you can see here, look at 2020, when we had we were 2 or 3 weeks into COVID, fall-through rate was really high. And that's considering that sales were really low as well. But 20.27, again, let's just come back to this one. Ignore the Christmas spikes. The numbers are so low that they're going to be all over the place. But let's look at this. 2022. Did something happen in September, quarter three in 2022? Was there a new prime minister and a budget? No.
Yeah, trying to think.
Yeah, but something happened in quarter four, start of quarter four in 2022. It'll come to
Something
it.
kamikaze springs to mind.
Something like that. But anyway, I'm sure that our viewers can send us in messages and tell us what happened. But you can see here quite qu quickly, the sell-through rate was rising very slightly. All of a sudden went into overdrive and we were getting 40%. She drifted down to around 20%. Then she started to drift up in June, July 23, when interest rates started to go up and we started getting a bit warm under the collar. And then she's been drifting down ever so nicely, ignore Christmas spike. And now we're bumbling along quite nicely at 20%. So one in five sales are falling through, ladies and gentlemen, which is
20,
better.
20% is fine. But, you have to expect this, that people change their minds, circumstances change, etc. Some agents book sales where there is a incomplete chain. Some agents book sales where the vendor hasn't found something to move to. I never did. I would only book a sale if it were proceedable to exchange of contracts. So that we're adding in those variables, a 20% fall through rate is okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I'm a big fan of reservation agreements. I'm not going to mention any names of any firms, but your fall through rates will come down into single figures. So do give them serious consideration. They are game changing stuff. So net sales is gross sales less fall throughs, and this week we are on 19,210, and cumulative net sales year to date is 200. This is the stuff we're going to get paid on, is 237,543, which is 12.1% ahead of where we were in 23. So therefore, you're going to be having 12.1% more exchanges, ladies and gentlemen, compared to last year. And we are 6% ahead of 17, 18, and 19. What's your thoughts on this, Ian?
This shows me that there is a little bit of swap net going on because there's more gross sales than net sales. So there is a little bit of churn in the marketplace. And swap net is a game that no one wins because you agree a sale, you think it's going to go through, it falls through, you then re-agree it again. So you think you've got two sales, but you haven't. You've only actually got one because it's the same house. I would like to see the net activity start to grow a little bit and get some clear blue water between it. Because if we think back to the listings were significantly higher, and yet the net sales activity is bang in the middle. So I think a little bit more care setting up the deal, a little bit more care checking chains, checking affordability, etc., would be the direction that I'd be putting my team on. So if there was a reason for a delay of booking it as a sale agreed on a Thursday and Friday, that'd be for all of the right reasons and none of the wrong reasons. And the right reasons being a little bit of prudence in terms of booking sales that can go through.
Indeed. This is the net sales that we are, and you can see quite clearly that the yellow line is what happened in 2020, that awful year of lockdown. But we are still ahead, we are net ahead of both 17, 18, 19, and 23. But as I said, net sales have dropped because gross sales, but remember, we are really early for Easter. Look how where all the Easters have appeared in different years. So really interesting stuff here. Now do remember, ladies and gentlemen, all these graphs are available to download free of charge. If you go to YouTube, go to the description, scroll down to the bottom, there will be a WeTransfer link which you can download. I am more than happy for you to use them both internally in your own branch and also at valuations, but I ask humbly that you don't use them on social media, please. But you can use them elsewhere, and it makes you look awesome and brilliant in front of your vendors. Sounds like you know what you're talking about. Just a couple of graphs before we finish off the national stuff. We've got price changes as a percentage, 48.5% compared to a running average, as I said, of 42.8%. Okay, I'd expect the 2021 and 22 figures to be lower simply because you didn't need to do price reductions in those years.
Correct.
But we're very similar to these sort of 17, 18s, and 19s, although slightly ahead, although not as much as 23, where people were reducing their prices. And then gross sales as a percentage of listings, slightly below the run rate of 76% at just under 64%. Any thoughts on that before we move on?
No, I think they are what they are.
Okay, good stuff. So something that I'm particularly interested in is the pound per square foot figures. Now, the red line is the new listings. I want you to just totally ignore that, ladies and gentlemen. What I would like you to look at is the sales of the contract on the red line. And the greeny line, which is exchanged. And what you will notice is this, is if you move that orange line 5 months to the right, it will match the exchange data very, very closely. Okay.
Gotcha.
Now, when I match that sold submitted to contract data with the land registry figures, so I'm not matching it, I'm not, so I'm this one you can see here. I'm getting quite technical here, so apologies for anyone that doesn't like technical stuff. So the orange is the pound per square foot at sale agreed. The greeny blue is the pound per square foot at exchanged. Got me on that one. I've got other graphs which I haven't got here, but I've done on other shows where we have matched the land registry average value and re-indexed it, as in took it back to 100. So it's all about the movement of the figure, isn't it, Ian? Yeah. And what we do is we match the new listing, sorry, the sale agreed pound per square foot against the land registry figure index back. So we're both starting at the same position of 100 because all indexes start at 100. And what you'll this is the magic thing is this. If you the sold submit the contract data, pound per square foot, will foretell what the land registry will say with a 98% accuracy rate 5 months later. So by following sold submit the contract pound per square foot, You know exactly. So what does this mean to people? This means you can tell when the top of the market is, and you can tell when the bottom of the market is 5 months in advance. Everyone looks at the land registry on a pedestal. We can foretell it with a 98% accuracy rate. So we're gonna have a dip, and then we'll have a 2 or 3 months of awesomeness, because have a look. There you go, that's the next one down, and then we're up and we're leveling off. That's the orange line. That's what's going to happen to the land registry, ladies and gentlemen, in the next 5 months. Interesting, don't you think? Well,
I think it's mega, absolutely superb.
I've got all these weird brains. That's why I like the train timetables. Did you know, Ian, it took 2 hours, 20 minutes to get from Grantham to King's Cross in 1961, and now it only takes 59 minutes.
Ah, there you
Technology.
go.
There you go. Told you I was a geek.
Yeah.
Now, here, this is interesting. What we've done here is that I've looked at all of the listings in quarter one, and I've looked at all the sales agreeds in quarter one, and then I've split them up into five different price bands and then proportioned them out. So 35.4% of listings in the UK have been up to 250,000, yet 42.9% of the sales have been up to 250,000. 250,000, 41% of the listings have been 250 to 500, whilst 39% have been sales. And we carry on throughout this graph leading up to 1 million, where 5.1% million plus, 5.1% of the listings have been £1 million, have been in the £1 million plus range, but only 3.1%. Now, that doesn't sound a lot, 5.1 versus 3.1, but if you look at the proportionality, that would be like 35.4%. Look, let's go over here to the blue one. That would be like 35.4% for listings and around 22% for sales. Proportional. This doesn't look big, but proportionally, it's massive. That's why bigger price properties don't sell. So you could have all the glitz, you could have the fancy brochures with your daylight, your sunlit, all the stuff, and it looks good on the coffee table, but are you going to get paid on it? Don't know. Thoughts on that?
Thoughts on that. So for this graph to make sense, you need to see the stock levels going into Q1, because the available stock on January the 1st, how does that spread out across that price range? Because otherwise, how can you have 42.9% of sales? And actually, a question: is this sale agreed gross sales activity, or is it net sales?
This is gross sales. So
Right.
basically, of all of the sales that took place in
Yeah.
Q1, 42.9% of those sales were in that price range.
Got it. So you could argue that there's a higher churn and fall-through rate up to £250,000, which is why there's more than 100% of listings that have actually sold.
Yeah, and we're not saying all of the Q1 listings have sold. We're just saying, right,
I
we're
understand.
looking at
I
all
understand what
the.
you're saying. Yeah. But the stat is the stat. At the top end of the market, we do know that it is less stock is selling, but of course the average fee that you're getting is significantly higher. So from a pound, shillings and pence perspective, it doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're worse off. In fact, they might be better off. Clearly the activity is in the core marketplace. If we think that the average sale price in the UK is around the 270 mark at the moment, it was updated yesterday, but I can't remember the figure. Was it 278? Something like that. It shows that the majority of the activity is in the core marketplace, without a doubt. But that's where the majority of agents sit, so that's where the majority of competition sits.
What is particularly interesting, Ian, is that Simon Ledbetter has done a report, a State of the Nation report, which will be coming out probably towards the end of April-ish time. And what he's particularly interested in is he's interviewed hundreds of estate agents. And what ha particularly happens is that the average fee when you get over 1 million in terms of a percentage goes like a ski jump. So you're absolutely right. A mind reader, Ian.
There
There
you
you
go.
go. Ladies and gentlemen, I told you it was good. Right then. Okay. So is there any more that you want to do there on this unless is there anything, or we'll go to Belfast?
No, I think it's good. I think it's a positive market. There's lots of opportunity, but it is rhythms and routine around your canvassing. Take on the right stock at the right price with the right fee, and then manage the relationship appropriately.
Good
So if it's
stuff.
not selling within a certain time, get the price down.
Good stuff. Well, Ian, let's go to Belfast.
Let's go to Belfast, yes.
So, Ian, we are going to be using the platform 20EA Insights, 20EA to have another different, lots of platforms, particularly looking at the Insights platform. I'm going to stress for the record, I'm not being paid to use this platform. It's just that 20EA give me access to it, and then I share it with you, beautiful ladies and gentlemen in the UK. This platform is available to all agents. There is a light version, a freemium version, which you don't have to pay for, which will give you access to some basic stats. And then if you cross their palm with silver, you have access to your local area, so the data that I'm going to be using with you today. As I said, I don't know what the price, I do know what the prices are, but I'm not going to say them because I'm not on commission. I'm just a bit of a fanboy. I just love it to bits. So Ian, let's dive in and let's go and have a look at the Stellarunis. So this is the platform itself, and we are going to be going to Belfast. Just for the benefit of everyone, ladies and gentlemen, we're using the postcodes BT1 all the way through to BT17. Those are the postcodes that Wikipedia tells us is what the Belfast stats are. And what we'll do is we'll look at each screen, and then I'll just ask Ian for some insight on what he thinks. So we are with this, the best way I can describe 20EA Insights. It's like a Rightmove Plus report with lasers, a couple of Saturn V strapped to it, and a glitter balls all on the top. It's just amazing with Go Faster Stripes. And we're going to start off with new instructions. Pardon me. The best thing I like, one of the things I particularly like about it is we're not just looking at the last year, we are looking at the last six-ish years. So we're going back to the 1st of January 2019. And we can see the levels of new instructions that are taking place in Northern Ireland, or sorry, in Belfast on these particular dates. So I think what we're going to do here is let's go and have a look at all the individual agents in Belfast, and we'll see how well they're performing with regard to their new instruction levels. Now, Ian, you actually have some fantastic agents in the guild in. So do shout up if you see any names that you recognize. So
Number seven, John Minnis. That's one of our members in Belfast.
anyone else?
We've got CPS, and we've got property people. So John Minnis, CPS, property people.
There you go. Okay, so we're going to start off with Templeton Robinson, and these are their listing number of listings. And you can see here that in 2019, their market share for the whole of Belfast was hovering around between the 15 and 20% mark. In 2021, they've been hovering between 10 and 15, and we've had a slight uptick there in 24. Okay, so the average price is 190. So have a look at what price. The average price agents are putting properties on the market for, because that will give us a great idea whether they're upper quartile, lower quartile. We'll look at the upper quartiles in a second. Let's go look at Ulster property sales. Looks like they've had a good 21 and 22, but have leveled off between 23 and 24. And they're at 179, so very similar. So they seem to be a lower to middle market, whilst Templeton Robertson tend to be a middle to upper market. Let's go and look at Shanks and Company. Again, just around the 7% mark. Nothing particularly amazing there, good or bad, just bubbling along quite nicely. It's going to look at Lanes. Again, they seem to be hovering around the 5% mark. Some good months, some not so good months. Featherston Clements at 246. They see, again, a general direction, slight upward growth. Reed's Rains 173, which again, lower to middle quartile. McGranachan Estate Agents, I hope I've pronounced that one right. 145, so they're at the lower end of the range in terms of price, and they've been hovering around that 4%. John Minnis, let's just see what these guys are doing. They seem to be growing their market share with an average price of 226. Michael Chandler, okay, around the 3% mark, going in at good. Simon Bryan, okay, 246. We'll just do these for everyone's benefit so you can see where you are, because you might not want to buy the product, so I think it's just important. Okay. It's interesting, there's lots of different agents and the price ranges. Let's have a look. Here we go. We'll just do it. We'll go down to the top 20. They seem to be growing. That's TMC. Pooler Country. Again, you seem to be growing. REA. Again, going in the right direction. Cowley's. Rogers and Finlay. We'll just have a look at Dugan's as well. There we go. Okay. Let's go back up. So, upper quartile. Let us go and see where the upper quartile range is. Hold on, I've just switched that. Hold on, switch that off. There we go. So we're looking for seventh around that. Let's have a look. So let's see whether. So the upper quartile. Okay. So it looks like the upper quartile kicks in. Wow, hold on.
Going to be quite a lot lower than that. If you think of 170 average price, very, very good value for money there.
So the upper quartile kicks in at 300,000. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
We ran an article, Chris, of a home that John Minnis listed. It was utterly magnificent, this property, and it was for £1.8 million. It in the parts of central London, it would have been 60 or £70 million, and anywhere around the UK, it would have been 3 or 4, maybe even £5 million. It was magnificent for 1.8.
It is a beautiful country, and I just love the people. And what I would say, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever get the chance to go over the big mountain, I can't remember the name of the big mountain, and get yourself over to Londonderry stroke City of Derry, I think you'll absolutely adore it. But just shows you that, there you go. Look, how many properties in? Okay, we know we've got the villages, but only 103 properties have come onto the market with £1 million plus in the last 6 years in Belfast. Again, I know there are posh areas on the outskirts where there might be more, but I just think that's interesting. Okay, right. Let us go and move on and look at the next. So we'll just have a quick look at stock market, what the stock has been, which is particularly interesting. So let's ignore April because we're only halfway through it. Now that, wow, look at this. This is interesting, Ian. So this is the average number of properties that are presently for sale. Okay, so in. So we're looking for the whole of March, because then we've got the whole month and we can take the average. 2,373 in 19. This is all March. So 19, 20, 20, sorry, 2,373. She goes down in 20 to 2,037. She's goes back up in 21 to 2,003. And then 1,717. And look at that, 1,500. Now, it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I published some stats that showed that Northern Ireland's stock had come down. But when you actually see it on a city by city basis, this is breaking the national trend, ladies and gentlemen. Most agents on the mainland, residential stock that's available is higher about between 10 and 15% more, whilst in Ulster, Northern Ireland, and in this case, Belfast, is a lot lower. Interesting. I haven't got the answer why. I don't know why. What's particularly happening there,
The
but
really interesting thing in Belfast, and in fact in Northern Ireland, Chris, is that agents do not canvass or tout each other.
that a gentleman's agreement or?
It's just the rules of engagement in Northern Ireland. They don't believe that they should be undermining each other, that they should win the business based upon the skill sets. It's for the customer to decide to change rather than actually the agent sending letters saying, "Notice you haven't sold, why don't you use us?"
So none of that in Northern Ireland.
No.
I could put an advert in front of someone saying, "Hi, I'm an estate agent, come and use it," but I can't go direct.
They technically can. It's not. It's there's no cartel activity, or there's no rules or gentleman's agreement, as you refer to. It's just not done. It's never been done, and they don't do it.
Fantastic, fantastic. I think we could potentially learn a lot from our colleagues in Northern Ireland on that. Right, let's move on and let's look at this. Now, this is pure gold, ladies and gentlemen, but the gold is not where you think it is, okay? So, most agents will be looking at the new instruction levels and the new instruction percentage market share and the sale agreeds, and the further you go off to the right, the less interested they will become, okay? So what we're going to do is this is where the magic happens, okay? The gold is in these four columns here, exchanged and withdrawals, because a property can only leave an estate agent's book if she exchanges or she withdraws. Sell falls through, it's still on your books. This is if this is the exhaust pipe of the agents or the bottom of the funnel. And what's particularly interesting is this, is that in the last 12 months, 81.4% of homes in Belfast that have left estate agents' offices, books, have exchange contracts. So 4 out of 5 properties in Belfast agents have been paid on. Now, this is interesting. The average for the UK last year, 52.9%, and the average for London was 38.7%. I'm sure the London agents would love a slice of this, wouldn't they?
I certainly would.
Now, what's particularly interesting here is this. Normally, the biggest agent has an indifferent exchange ratio, but we've got to give a round of applause to Templeton's here because they are exchanging contracts on 84.79% of the properties. And you've got Ulster at 86, Shanks at 77, Reeds Rains at 76, and you can see all the numbers that are on there. So there's an indifferent, these are all high numbers. But the magic thing is this. Let's just say I was, say, Ulster Property Services and I was going up against Northern Property. I could say that I have a nearly 20% greater chance, because proportionate is around 20%, greater chance of getting you moved. And this is where the power of data can help you
Yeah.
in your estate agency. I'm surprised agents don't use such sort of data, Ian, to help them, differentiate themselves, because that's really hard work. When you want higher fees, you've got to prove that you're worth the fee, haven't you?
Yeah, 100%. It's cost is an issue in the absence of value. It's one of my favorite sayings. So if you can demonstrate to the seller in the living room that why they should choose you and that you're good value for money for the fee that you charge, there's your answer.
There you go. Good stuff. Let's move on to the next screen. And this is where we are, where 20EA are looking at the price that you put the house on the market at versus what it thinks the house is worth using their automated valuation model. And you can see here that the top agents don't particularly overvalue. Last week we were in Fulham or Chelsea, I can't remember. No, it's Kensington. And these were 4, 5, 6% with the big agents. They were overvaluing to get the business. Well, it quite clearly sees here that the average in Belfast is 0.34. So there's a direct relationship, ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be. And the fact is that Belfast agents are not overvaluing, and they are, it's not the only factor, they are exchanging on 4 out of 5 properties that they're listing. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really interesting. The stats are all relatively the even the previous slide, they're very similar.
Yeah, there is, you can hardly put a fag packet between them, but
No.
paper behind them, sorry to pardon the pun, but yeah, but again, this just shows here that if you're trying to get a proper, if Templeton Robinson could say to someone that they're up against that we will get you £600 more for your home, because this independent data at 20A says that for every average £200,000 house, we will get 0.54% above what 20EA think the house is worth. And 20EA are an independent firm that have valued you a bit like a Valpar figure or a Zoopla figure. And we all know that, okay, you can say, well, they're all off, but they're all off by using the same algorithm. And you can use data to say, I will get you more for your money than anyone else, which is powerful, powerful stuff. Let's move on and look at, now this is interesting, that at the moment it is taking 79 days to get a property from new instruction through to sold to the contract, whilst the year before it was 63 days. And you can see here that in terms of the best performing agents in terms of size, that Featherstone Clements are taking 46 days from new instruction to sale agreed, whilst McCleary's are taking 28 days, whilst John Minnis is taking 140 days. But again, normally with this data, ladies and gentlemen, we then have the additional bit about how long it takes to do a sale from sale instructed to completion. And what you often find is this, is that I wonder if John Minnis hold back instructing the solicitor and don't actually put a, some agents don't even put a sold on it. Some
Yeah.
wait until the survey's done. And it's a shame that this data, it does in the mainland, but doesn't in Northern Ireland due to the fact that some of the data isn't available. It does, so that's a shame with this, but that's just the nature of the game, is that John Minnis, I bet you a pound to a penny, because I've got some great figures elsewhere, and there are guild agents is that are probably holding back instructing solicitors right and
Yeah,
marketing.
I'll ask John next time I speak to him, what their strategy is. Because you are right, there's certain agents that don't mark property as sold until after survey is done.
Yes,
So
indeed.
I'll ask them.
Good stuff. Right, and then let's just go and have a quick look at the lettings market. Okay, so in terms of the lettings market, now again, let's just get rid of that spike, because that does look, because we're only we're only a couple of days in. That's going to screw the figures up. There we go. Let's get that done. Wait for that one. There we go. Oh, it is. I don't know what's happening there. So hold on. I'm just going to, there we go. That's a bit better. Shows us a bit more. So this is showing new instructions. Look at that. The average listing price in Belfast over the last 6 years has been £893. If we just have a quick look, look, it was 807 back in 2019. And let's look at it, what it is for the last year or so, 1,053.
Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
That tells you everything, doesn't it?
It does. Although, interestingly, I don't know if you're aware, Ian, I know there are regional variations, but since 2016, average rents in the UK are 4.8% cheaper in real terms, as in once you've taken inflation into account,
Yeah.
than what, than, you know, than what's
Yeah, I
happened.
saw you post that, Chris, and probably me and many other people will see it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way. And
No.
that's the problem, is this, is that we are very used to, we get inflation blindness.
Yeah.
That number in outer London is 11.9% cheaper in real terms. And then I had an interesting discussion, because I tend to attract trolls on social media with my stats, and someone says, what's happened to wages? And wages, they haven't matched inflation. Wages, wages have, but wages are still outblown in London rents in outer London.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel that way, does
No,
it?
it doesn't. No, it really
No.
doesn't. No.
Okay, so this is the thing. So we've got some big spikes here. I don't know what's happening here. I'm just gonna has it. I don't know. Is that the student market? Does the student market kick in February? I have no knowledge of the market, the rental market in Belfast, because because I know you know this, but later my daytime job is I create content for agents to talk about local property markets, because data is really hard to get hold of in Northern Ireland. Unfortunately, I cannot work there, so I don't, not got my finger on the pulse there. But you can see here that just generally stock, new instruction levels are much lower. So you can see here, look, here we go, September, 846 new instructions in 2020, and she's been hovering around 342. And you can just see the number of new instructions, which is endemic of what the stock levels are going to be in all the different agents here. So you just have a quick look there, ladies and gentlemen, and see that. And this is the overall. Let's just have a quick look and see if what agents have been doing in terms of their market share. So Templeton Robinson, that's interesting. They've been dropping slightly. Featherstone Clements, Property People.
Property people are a guild member.
Okay, good stuff. But they've got a big spike there. But again, that is, this one here is it's only got one day in the stats, so you can take that with a pinch of salt. CPS,
That's a guild member as well. Yeah.
okay. Belvoir, they seem to be growing. Well done, guys.
Yeah.
R. Stanley Laird and Son. Okay, don't know what happened there. Pinpoint, Quick Let. They seem to be growing, don't they? Reeds
Yeah.
Rains. I tell you what is interesting here is that there's no open rent, isn't there? And
Yeah.
interestingly, ladies and gentlemen, open rent have grown from 4% of the UK market to 12% in the last 5 years. To where a lot of your properties. Let's go and look at Ulster. That property sales, that's one of yours, Ian. Campbell and Co. Natalie Clark. They're growing. Michael Chandler. We'll go. I will just do a few more of these, just so you might be interested. Property Link, whether that is, I'm not sure. Is that a student property? That they look like student link. I'm assuming they're student pigs, because
Yeah, I guess so.
just have a quick look around this. Just do this. They're growing. There we go. Premier. We'll go down to number 21. There you go. What's up? I think Northern Property. Let's go back to them. Wonder if they're, I wonder if they're, yeah, they look like student spikes. Good stuff. Okay, Ian. Final thoughts.
Good agency practice is needed in this marketplace. Work your applicants, work your sellers, negotiate something called mind the gap. Always think about the differential between the price somebody's selling at and the price they're paying at. That's where proper agency comes into play when you take the ego of house prices out of the equation and just think about the difference between the two transactions. That's where the gravy is, and that's where you start to show your prowess in being a proper estate agent.
Thank you,
That's
Ian.
all.
Awesome as always. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a solo estate agent and you're looking for some guidance and support to be part of a club or a tribe of agents, then do check the guild out. There's some fantastic agents that work for that. They get together in regions and they have national conferences as well. But at the end of the day, sharing best practice with your peers is absolutely brilliant. Also, by being part of the guild, you get deals on certain things as well. So do check them out. The 20 EA platform, again, just go to 20 EA, 20 spelt out as the word 20 EA, and there are a number of platforms, one of them which is called Insights. You can fill the details in and go and have a look at that. Ian, thank you for your time today. Thank you for your
Pleasure.
mate
Thank
the
you.
insight. I know you enjoy doing them. We'll get you back in a couple of months' time, and we'll see what's happened to the property market there.
Indeed.
But most importantly, thank you, the viewer, for watching the show. I hope you get an awful lot out of it. It does take me, myself, and my team about 5 weeks. It's not 5 weeks, feels like 5 weeks, 5 hours a week to compile the data, put it into graphs and sort it out, film it and edit it. But we get a lot of insight, and we hope you enjoy it as well. So please do put a comment, good and bad, a constructive or not constructive in the comments. Suggest places that you might want us to look at. We've got a long list, but we could always nice to have a few in the bag spare. And we hope you get a lot from it. And we'll see you next week. So thank you for your time, and we'll say
Pleasure.
goodbye.
Thank you very much. Take care.